Bezer Hashem, today's daf is daf Tezvav, Mesech Sota. We're on Tezvav Amid Aleph, four lines from the top. The Mishnah had told us that the process of Sota is one in which he brings a Minchas Knos, as we know from the Psukim, and then in the Gemara on Daf Yudalit Amid Beis, we had the description of the whole process of the Minchas Knos as related in the Tosefta. Particularly, the Tosefta in Menachos also gave us the details of all Karban Mincha as well. The Gemara continues to find Makoros. Our Gemara is important in Maseches Menachos also, because it's the Makoros for the whole process of the Karban Mincha. We had learned, Krava Koimetz Shiarei Necholin. If the Koimetz is already done, so then in such a case, the rest can be eaten. Menalon, what is the Makor that after the Koimetz, it's the matir for achil. The ksiv ikter akoynes askarasa uksiv, and then afterwards, subsequent to that, it says vanoseres menamincha la'aron ulevanov. So the seder of the psukim indicate you first do the kometz, and then the halacha is that it is mutter. Krav hakometz. Once the kometz is already brought, there is lemar kedisle ulemar kedisle. There are two different opinions of exactly what happens when the kaimitz is bought. The imar, as we learned, this is quoted in Zvachim in a couple of places. Chafches amir aleph, sadi aleph amir aleph. Hakaimitz me amasai matir shirayim beachila. When are the shirayim permissible to be eaten after the kaimitz has been done? In other words, it's true. You have the hiktir, and then v'hanoiseres la'aron ovanov, then they could eat it. But when exactly in the process? So here the Gemara just spelled out, it's mar kedisle, two opinions. Rabbi Chanina amr shetish lo'et ha'ur. Rabbi Chanina says that when the fire rules over it, shlita means to rule. However, over here, what it means is that it has begun to light it up. It doesn't say how much. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, in other words, even the smallest amount. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, no. Rabbi Yochanan says you need Rov, Mishutatsis, Ha'ir Beruba. It needs to have the majority. Continues the Gemara, 10 lines from the top of Rosh Hashanah, Kanim Liten L'Seichai, Yain V'Shemen V'Dvash. Tosefta teaches us that they're allowed to put wine, oil, and honey inside. My time, Amar Krala Mashcha. The Torah says that when it comes to matnas natu kuhuna, Rashi quotes it from a midbar yudches lechonis atim v'mashcha, to anoint. I've given it to you to anoint. In other words, to put oil inside. Excuse me, to put oil on them. That I've given you the kohanim to put oil on them. The pasuk says es ve'ehi nei nesati lechas mishmeres trumasayim b'midbar yudches lechol kachshem neisrael lechonis atim v'mashcha, to anoint them. In other words, says the Gemara, L'gdula, to raise them up for greatness, Kederach Shamachim Ochlin, and therefore they can eat as the kings eat, and therefore oil is put inside. Ve'ein Asurin, and then we said that the Kohanim could do with it what they would like, except what is Asur, El's Mechametz. You have to make sure it doesn't become Chametz. Tichsiv Le'asaf Chametz Chalkam. They shouldn't allow their part to become Chametz. Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Afilu Chalkam Lo Se'af Chametz. Not only is one supposed to make sure that the karban before the hakrava is in chametz, but even chelkam, even the part of the kohanim, are not supposed to turn into chametz. The Gemara continues, kol aminochois. We had learned in regard to all menochois that the Mishnah had told us about all menochois, that halacha is that they're tuna, shemen, v'levayna. They need oil and frankincense. What's the exception? V'zu, the Mishnah tells us in the bottom, yudalad amal, four lines to the anam. Eina tuna, lo shemen, v'lo levona. This doesn't need shemen and levona. Asks the Gemara, wait a second. V'chala menachos tuna, shemen, v'levona. All menachos need shemen, levona. V'yika minchas chote. D'rachmona, amal, lo yasin, v'la shemen, v'lo yitin, v'lo levona. It's not true. The Minchas Chote also doesn't have it. What is Minchas Chote? Let's see Rashi side 10 lines into the narrow. Minchas Chote Abachet, the Mitami Migdosh, Ushuas Eidus, Ushuas Bitui. These are the averos that are described as the carbon ola v'yored in Vayikra, hey, towards the end of Parshas Vayikra, those are described as the minchas chote. If the fellow cannot afford a carbon, an animal, so then in such a case he brings a mincha. So there it says, lo yasmu l'Hashem v'lo yitin l'vo l'vona. Answers the Gemara, hachi karma, kol minchas tona Hashem v'lo l'vona, u'bos minachit u'bos solis. All carbon minchas require oil, frankincense. They come from wheat and they're made of fine flour. Minchas chote, alva b'sheinet tona Hashem l'vona, bo minachitin u'bos solis. But however, when it comes to minchas chote, it's a step up from the minchas kno'os, the mincha of the sota. That what? The sota doesn't come from solas. It comes from, and doesn't come from chitin. It comes from sa'orim. It comes from barley, not from wheat. Continues the Gemara, there's another level. So the first level is, we have minchas, all the minchas, they come shemen, levona, chitin, solas. Minchas chote comes from non-shemen levona, no shemen levona, but from chitin sos. Minchas ha-omer, afal b'yishibah min ha-sar, tunin shemen levona, u'bal gerish. When it comes to minchas ha-omer, so it comes from barley, unlike the above mentioned karbanos. However, even though it comes from barley, it's still a fine barley. It still comes from gerish. It comes from a very fine, finely sifted barley. However, when it comes to the minchas kenos, so then it's even less than that. Vizu einatona lo shemen velo levona uba min asarin uba kema. It comes from a raw flour that hasn't been sifted finely, of course, to represent the status of avera, that of this woman. The Gemara continues 20 lines from the bottom on Tezval Vamed Al Tanyam Rabbi Shimon. Bidin Ushate Mincha Soitetun Hashem and Vilavoy Nishlay Echote Nisker. Really, the Minchas Chote should also need oil and frankincense because in the end he ends up saving money. So it's going to be Chote Nisker. The one who did the Avera ultimately is getting reward. Umetnei Mayin Atuna, and why does it not need it? Shaloye Karbon Muhudur. In order that his carbon not look so nice. In other words, it comes on an avera. Ubedin ishtei chatas beilev tuna nisachim. And really, all carbon chatas, we'll explain in a moment why it's called chatas chelev, all carbon chatas should require libation, should require the nisach hayayin, shelo yehei chote nisker, because in order not to reward the baal avera, he gets away with something cheaper. Umepnei eina tuna shelo yehei carbon muhudar. And why does he not bring it? In order that his carbon not look so nice. Rashi explains the Maraskal Chatas Chelev that the expression Chatas Chelev could be misleading. Here we're talking about a regular Chatas. However, it's referred to as a Chatas Chelev because if you take a look at Vayikra Gimel, first the Torah says, Kol Chel V'chol Dam Lo Sechelu, and then it says the Parsha of the Chatas. So when we're talking about a regular Chatas that a person has to bring after being over an Avera B'Shogeg, that's normally chayiv kares. So there, the Torah requires one to bring what the Gemara calls a chatas chelev. It just means a carbon chatas, but it's a way of making reference to Vayikra Chaf Gimel. There's something that's not a chatas chelev. And what's that? The Gemara continues on. That's called a chatas mitzora. He's the Gemara Abel Chatos, Shal Mitzora Vasham, the Karmi Chatos for a Mitzora. When he comes to pure himself after his Saras has disappeared. Tunin Nisach L'Fishen Bo'an Al-Chait. They need Nechasim, because what was Al-Svar? You don't need Nechasim, really everything Shem Nechasim is that the Karmi should look Mahudar. But when it comes to Mitzora, it's not a Chait. Oh, that raises a fascinating Agadita. Eini asks the Gemara, 10 lines from the bottom, is that not so? V'om Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Om Rabbi Yosef, al shiva dvarim nigoin boin. There are 7 averos that bring about saras. This is a very famous Gemara in Erechin on Tezayin Amid Aleph, where the Gemara spells out, the most famous one, of course, being Lashon Hara, but there is a list of another 6 over there of averos that precipitate tzaras. The Gemara, that how could you say that it's not going on avera? And if it's not going on avera, so then in such a case we should not have nisachim along with it. The yayin should makes it muhudar, and any time we have a carbon going on avera, we don't want it to be muhudar. So Gemara gives a fascinating teret. 7 lines from the bottom. Hasam in igiyuda ikbar le kimaisi carbon lestruye bekotchim huda kamaisi. The Gemara says no. When it comes to saras, the kapara does not come with the carbon. The saras comes with the miserable life of a mitzora. Bodod yeshev. He's got to go out. He can't be with everybody else. That's the kapara. Aye, then why does he bring a carbon? Normally a carbon is for a kapara. No. Here the carbon has what we would call in Lamdasha terminology a different chalois, a different effect. The effect is to be matir him for kachim, to allow him to participate in kachim. The Gemara then asks another important follow-up question. These are Shas concepts that are quite important. The Elameata, says the Gemara, Chatas Nozir Tehei Tuna Nesachim Lefishein Baal Chet. When it comes to the carbon Chatas of a Nazir, so then in such a case, he should also need Nesachim. Why? Because we just got through saying that when it comes to the Mitzora, the carbon is not there for a Kapara, the carbon is there to be Matir him for Kachim. So too, when it comes to a Nazir, when he's finishing off his time of Nizirus. So then in such a case, the halacha should be that he should require Nesachim as well. Why is it that he doesn't? And a Chatas Nazir does not have Nesachim along with it. Answers the Gemara, Sava Lekir B'Lazar Kafar, the Amar Nazir Na Michotehu. This is another famous Gemara in the beginning of Nazir as well as in Nedarim. It's the Nazir Yutes Amar Aleph, as well as Nedarim on Daf Yud Amar Aleph, where the Gemara says that a Nazir also is coming from an unhealthy spiritual place. Shetzir Atzmo Minayayin, Rabbi Elazar Kfar says that he didn't allow himself to partake in wine. That's called an Avera. What's the pshat behind that? So there are many, many pshatim. First, let's just cheshbon the pshat in our Gemara. The pshat in our Gemara is that a chatas nazir does not have nesachim because it becomes like minchas chote and other karbanos of an avera, for that matter, a chel of chatas, that those things don't have a karban because we don't want the karban of a bal avera to be mehudar, and a nazir, because it's an avera of tzir atzma min ayayin, he does not bring the yayin with it. It seems that there are two levels over here. First of all, there is a beautiful line that I believe I heard quoted in the name of Rabbi Tatz Shlita, where Rabbi Tatz suggested that the notion of nichs yayin yotza sod, that simply translated, the simple understanding is that when a person drinks, then there are less inhibitions, and their true side comes out, their true inside comes out. However, Rabbi Tatz added that is the sod of Klal Yisrael. This is the secret of Klal Yisrael, that wine, alcohol, which for the nations of the world and all other, lahavdil, elef alfei avdolos, all other world religions view in a dangerous fashion. For Klal Yisrael, we have the ability to be able to take everything of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, his corporeal world, wine, which is the entry to sin for the secular world, for us, as well as Kedusha. In other words, that we could enjoy HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, yet be able to use it for Kedusha. This is the whole Avoda of Purim, Vahamevin Yavin. So that's the Avera, according to Elazar HaKfar. Instead of removing himself from Yayin, he should train himself to be able to partake in Yayin in a manner that is kadosh. Of course, if chas v'chalila, a person has developed an addiction, then that's a totally different story, and that requires separate guidance. maybe one could add to that idea, that fits in beautifully to the whole notion of the carbon. A carbon that's mehudar takes every component of the world and it sanctifies it, it elevates it. However, this fellow who wasn't able to elevate the yayin, so hence his carbon comes without yayin. The Gemara continues on the bottom of Tezvav Amud Aleph, quoting the Mishnah of Rebbe Gamliel. Rebbe Gamliel had said, "Kishem shemaaseha maase behima, kach karbona meichel behima." Just like her actions were that of a behema, so too the food also is of a meichel behema. The Gemara elaborates on this point. Tanya, Amar lehem Rebbe Gamliel lechachamim sofrim. Rebbe Gamliel said to chachamim who were known as sofrim, "Hinichuli, let me go, let me talk, vedrashenu, and I will doresh kemin chomer, like a chomer. What is a chomer? Rashi says buton bilaz. It's vehushel zav. It was a button of gold. Vechos minbo shnei tzavarei cholok lenoi, and that they fastened a garment." Rashi in Kedushin seems to describe Chomer as another ornate object, but something different, that a Chomer was a type of gem that was put on the neck area as an adornment. So there, Antosos gives a third explanation. He brings from Reb Tzadigon that says that a Chomer comes from the Lashon, like a person says to his friend, "Machamercha, what is your chomer? What is your meisim? What is your explanation?" So these are three different hezberim. Tosus also quotes an opinion that sounds to be similar to the opinion of Rashi and Kedushin and Chav Beis and Beis that we had mentioned about a button, an adornment of stone. Either way, that's what kemin chomer refers to. Explains Rabbi Gamliel. Dishame le'le Rabbi Meir. We already learned that Rabbi Meir had said, this was quoted in the Gemara Chesem and Beis, the Ka'amar, he said, "Hi achilasei ma'adanim olam l'fichach karbana machal behema." She gave him to eat from the pleasures of this world, the delicacies of this world, in order to cause him to do Avera. So therefore, we give her meichel behema. We give him meichel behema. Hamalei hatei nechashira. Not only rich people that do averus. Ania ma'ikal meimer. Poor people, it was a poor woman who caused him to sin. So she didn't give him madani melech to eat fancy food. El b'shem shemaaseh ma'aseh behema kach karbanos meichel behema. Just like her action was of a ma'aseh behema, so to this woman as well. So what would emerge is that this statement of Rebbe Gamliel that we had in the Mishnah, Kishem Shema Saisa Behema, would be in regards to poor people, but in regards to rich people, the reason why it's made of barley is a different reason, and it's an exact onish of what she had made for the Baal Avera who had been Mizana with her. The Mishnah continues on Tezvav Amebeis, five lines from the top. Hayamevi Piole Shelcheres. They would bring a cup made of earthenware. Vinosin lesocha chatzilug mayim min hakiyar, and they would put inside of it a half a lug of water that came straight from the kiyar. We know the bin of the basin that housed the water that the kohanim would wash their hands from. So too the mayim as well for the meisota came from that also. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ravius, kishem shememayit b'ksav kach b'mayit b'mayim. The first opinion had said that we take a chatzilug. Rabbi Yehuda says we give the smallest amount possible. We know that the shear of shtia in the Torah is a revius, a fourth of the lug. And just like Rabbi Yehuda says that we don't write very much in the Megillah, as the Mishnah will go on and later on and explain, so too we don't use a lot of water. The Mishnah later on will say that we only write the psukim of the curse, and we're memayid in the amount that's given. The Mishnah continues now to describe the process of how the Mei Hamorim was made. Four lines into the Mishnah on Tevav and Beis, Nichnas leHeichal upana liyimino. The Kohen Gadol will now walk into the Heichal itself and turn to his right. U'makom ayisham amal aman. There was an area there, an aman ama long, Vitavlo Shoshayish, and there was a a tile of marble that was put on top of dirt that was to be used for the Meisota. And there was a ring that was there, that you were able to raise the tile and then take water that was under it. And put inside the cup, in order that the water be seen on the water. So the water has to be taken from the ground of the Mishkan itself. So if it has to be taken from the ground of the Mishkan, so then in such a case, then you need to designate an area in the Mishkan for that process. The Mishnah had told us that the cup that was used was made out of earthenware. The Gemara now goes on to describe precisely what type of earthenware it was. Tana pili shel cheres chadasha. We learned that it was new earthenware. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. This is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. My time to Rabbi Shmuel. Gomar kli kli mi mitzora. We learn in regards to a mitzora that a mitzora had a kli that was used. Mitzora, when his karbon was brought, there was a sipar that the Torah described in Vayikra, there in the Parsha Mitzora, v'shachat es atzipor echos al klicheres al mayim chaim. So there was a klicheres that the tzipor was, the blood fell into, which had mayim chaim inside of it. So Rabbi Shmuel says that we learn Xerishav, it says kli by Saita, it says kli by Mitzora, malahalan cheres chadosha, afkan cheres chadosha. So it's supposed to be a new kli. Ask Zemara, how did Rabbi Shmuel know that there, when it came to Mitzora, it's a new kli that's used? V'hasam Manalan, how did he know it? See, v'shachas etzipar achas el kli cheres al mayim chaim. Ma mayim chaim shelo nasa ben melacha, af kli shelo nasa bo melacha. Just like when it comes to the Mitzora, there you use mayim chaim, and mayim chaim means that it wasn't used for any other type of malacha. So too, the kli is also that. If that's the kli, so too, when it comes to the, but just like the doesn't have to use, so too the kli. And then we make exereshava kli for mitzora. Says the Gemara, imala hala mayim chaim, afka mayim chaim. So if we're equating it, then that's assuming that mayim chaim is necessary also for mitzora, because if it comes to sota, because if sota doesn't need mayim chaim, then the whole equation with mitzora falls off. So the Gemara says, imala hala mayim chaim afkan mayim chaim. The Rabbi Shmuel, hachinami, it's true. According to Rabbi Shmuel, that would be so, and the Gemara is to prove it. Hachinami, da'amar Rabbi Yochanan mei ki or Rabbi Shmuel oimer mei mayon hein. Rabbi Shmuel said that actually the water of the Meisaita came from a mayon. It came from a flowing spring. The Chacham Maimon Mishar Meimasem. Chacham say that you could come from other types of water as well. So it turns out that we have a full equation between Mitzaira and Saita. As the Gemara Ikal Mifrach, one could ask, Malam Mitzaira Shekein Ton Eitz Eras Ve'eza V'shni Salas. You put all of those things, the hyssop and the red string, put all of those things into the mitzora's water. Amarav amakra b'chlichers klisha martelcha kvar. No, the gzereshava is only in regards to the kli, not in regards to other things as well. To tell us that you shouldn't make a full equation between that and mitzora. Amarav loy shanu. We only learned this idea that you need cheres. Ela shelonis achmu panaf. Rava says that this halacha of the Rabbanan, that they disagree with the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, who says that a utensil of cheres is kosher only if it's brand new, and the Rabbanan hold that even an old one is kosher, is only talking about a utensil that hasn't become blackened. Avon, this achmu panov, but if it's become back in psulin, it's going to be possible to be used for the mei sota. Mai taima, what's the rationale? Dumi the mai, ma maim shalom ishtanu. Just like when it comes to the water, water is only something that's not been changed. Avkli shalom ishtanu. Also a utensil also can't be something that has been changed, it's still in its original state. Just like water has a clear color, and if it has become darkened, it will be possible for Shinui Mare, so too in regards to the Kli. Boy, Rava. Rava now poses a Shaila based on this halacha. If it would be darkened, it would be possible. What happened if Nis'achmu ve'chzira letov kivshana esh v'nislabnu? It had become darkened. He returns it to a furnace, and then it becomes whitened again. Mau, mi'amrin kivin de'itchu itchu. Once it's become pushed away and unable to be used for a kli as mesota, then it's pushed away forever. You can never resuscitate. You can't do a tchias amesim on it. O dilma, kivin de'hador hador, or you say no, it could be returned. Could be fixed. Tashma, Rebbe Lozer, I'm Eitz, Erez, Ve'ezo, Vishnisa, Las. Shiv Shul Ben Kupa, Salach, Psulim. These things that are part of the Mitzorah, the Eitz, the Makal of Eitz, Erez, the Ezo, the Siach, and the Tzemer, that Savua Bedam, so then if those things are bent backwards, so then, and like if they're used in the process of handles for a box or something like that, so then psulin, it's going to be impossible. V'hasam hadri mifshiti, but over there maybe you could strain it out. Answers the Gemara: no, hasam. When it comes to the etzeres, the iklif iklifi, it becomes rubbed out. Its bark is rubbed off, and therefore it cannot return back. And since it can't return back, so the halacha is that it is possible. Hence, we cannot bring a raya. And it could very well be that when it comes to itchi, it would only be itchi when it's not, when it's dirty, when it's darkened. But if you put it in the furnace again, the halacha would be that it is kosher. There is a basic machlokus within our Gemara. We, of course, as we try to do, always learn the pshat in the Gemara according to Rashi. And that is that what emerges according to Rashi is that there's opinion of Rabbi Shmuel who disagrees with the Tana of our Mishnah. Rabbi Shmuel holds that you need a new kli, and our Tana holds that even an old kli would be acceptable. It's interesting to note that the Rambam, though, disagrees. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis, as well as in Perek Gimel Halacha Tes Hilcha Sota, learned that even the Tana of our Mishnah agrees. If that would be so, so then one would need to explain our Gemara that we just started a little bit differently. When our Gemara says, Lo shanu ela shelo nis'achmu panav, when Rava makes that statement, so we assume that was talking about a used kli, as is often, if you have a used clay utensil, in such a case, then it could become darkened. However, according to the Rambam, that everybody agrees that the only thing that's kosher is a new kli. Then we're going to be stuck between a rock and a hard place. Because then why is this kli dirty? Because if it's already been used, then anyhow it's going to be possible, aside from it being dirty. So you have to say, according to the Rambam, and some argue that one could fit it actually back into the words of the Rambam, that Rav is talking about a funny type of case. He's talking about, you know, those old utensils that have been sitting on a shelf in a store for a long, long time, and it's gathering dust, but it's been never used before. According to the Rambam, that is how one is going to have to learn this Gemara, that we're talking about new kli. However, according to Rashi, what we're going with in Shitas Rabbanan, who say an old kli is going to be acceptable. The Gemara continues to quote from the Mishnah that we had in the beginning of the Amud, and that is that when the Kohen goes into the Heichal, Nichnas lehechol paneli mino, and he turns to the right when he goes into the hechol. My time. What's the reason? Says the Gemara. The Amar Mar kol pinus shatapana lo yu el yidachimim. The rule in the Migdash is that when one turns to the right. After he turned to the right, there was a tablet, a tile that we saw before. The Mishnah told us that under it, that could be lifted under it, was the dirt. Turn around. Umin al afar. Maybe the earth could be earth that he is able to bring in from the outside, bring into the Heichal and use that. Tamalomer bekarka hamishkan. No, it has to be from the earth of the Mishkan. O bekarka hamishkan, yochel yachvar bekardumos. Tamalomer asher yiyye. I may think that if there you couldn't find in on the ground, that you should have to dig. That you should have to dig to bring it out. Tamalomar. So here, the Torah tells us, Haketzat, how does that work? Yesham have. Einsham, tensham. If there isn't any there, then you, all you have to do is put there. If there is, then you take it out, but you don't have to dig in the Mishkan itself. Tosis asks an interesting question in Dibra Maskel and Achmu on the premise of Rava's question, and that is that Rava is not sure whether we would say that once the kli has become darkened, whether it's possible forever or not, do we say hol v'itchi itchi or not? This is very reminiscent of the sugya in Perek Lulav HaGozel, asks Tosos, where the Gemara discusses whether we say yesh dichui b'mitzvos or not, and Tosos asks that our Gemara seems to conclude over here that there is no proof that the used kli is going to be possible when it was darkened. Yet the Gemara in Sukkah leaves it off as a bayi velo shita, and it seems that the Gemara in Sukkah would come out being choshesh for dichui b'mitzvah. So why all of a sudden here don't we say the same conclusion that we do in the Gemara in Sukkah? The Brisker Rav over here suggests a simple conceptual chiluk between the case of dichui in Lulav HaGozel as opposed to here. The case in Lulav HaGozel is discussing if berries appeared on a hadas and they were ultimately removed, do we say yesh dichui b'mitzvah? There you have a chefza mitzvah that was kosher, then berries appeared to make it pasul, and then they were no longer there. Can one say hol v'nitchi nitchi, that it made it pasul, or no? That's in regards to a chefetz of a mitzvah. What is the source of hol v'nitchi nitchi? That source is a source in kachim. When it comes to karbonos, Rashi and Sukkah, Lamigimel and Aleph, describes, when it comes to kachim, we say that once something was dachui, so then in such a case it can't be used later on. If the carbon was ineligible, so then you can't resuscitate it and make it kosher. For example, the Gemara in Zvachim on Lamed Daladim and Beis entertains the possibility that when you have a Kabbalah that was done by a Kohen Kosher and then given to a Apostle, so at that moment when it was given to a Kohen Apostle, it can't be brought. So then if it's given back to the Kosher, maybe we'll say it was Dachui. So there you have a Chefetz of Mitzvah of Dam that can't be reused. However, over here, there's no Chefetz of Mitzvah, the Brisker Rav claims. Over here, it's a question of its status as a utensil. Is it considered the original utensil of the clay utensil, or is it now forever flawed? So then, in such a case, that as the identity of a utensil, so then that's a question of how you define a utensil that had one status. It was broken and then fixed. However, when it comes to a chefetz shel mitzvah, which becomes posel, maybe in the halachos of an object of a mitzvah, that's posel, just like a carbon cannot be reused, so too here. But not necessarily would that halacha transpose in regards to the status of a kli. Our first topic of the halacha lemaisa from this daf, tezvav in saita, is a dirty mikvah. Tosas on tezvav amibes, discussing the Gemara which had said that just like water has to be clear according to Rabbi Yishmael, so too the halacha would be that the kli has to be clear and clean as well. Hence, a kli that has been darkened is going to be possible. The assumption of the Gemara Tosas and the Bar Maskel Umay points out is that a kli that is discolored is going to be possible, and water that is discolored as well is going to be possible. Tosas points out that that seems to fly in the face of a Mishnah in Mikvos. The Mishnah Mikvos in Perek Zayin, Mishnah Gimel, says, Meitzeva, watered, colored water, a dyed Mishnah Mikvos says, does not passel the water. Wine is different. The Mefarshim over there explain that wine is fundamentally, in the wine itself, is not just a change in pigment, but is a hevdel mamashi, that there is a real substantive difference between wine and water. That is beyond our scope a little bit right now, but that is the halacha in the Mishnah in Mikvos, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Gimel. Ask Tosfos, wait a second, not every mayim shenishtanu is going to be posel. If it's not a substantive change, so then the halacha is that the mayim is going to be kosher. This leads Tosfos to suggest that this whole discussion in the Gemara is not a fundamental one. It is an asmachta rabbanon, and it's only a psul midrabbanon. It could very well be that the shinui mikvah on the mare is not going to be problematic in this regard. This brings us to a halacha lemaisa question that comes up in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Pischei Tshuva, in Simon Reish Aleph, Sif Kod Yutes, where he discusses a similar type of question and deals with our Tosfos. There the Pischei Tshuva quotes the Mishkanis Yankov, a Talmud of Reb Chaim Volozhiner, and a brother of another important Achron on our Masechta, the Keren Ora, who suggests that the answer to Tosfos' question is the following. And this will have a profound implications in terms of Hilchos Mikvaos as well, as far as a dirty mikvah. That Tosfos says that we have a stira, a shinui in a tseva, versus this achmu, if you have a discolored pot or discolored water, then that's going to be problematic. And Tosfos is bothered by a steer. Answers the Mishkanes Yaakov, the Pischei Tshuva quotes, from Mishkanes Yaakov and Simon Mem Dalid, that there is a difference between the two cases. As we pointed out, a dye has no mamashos whatsoever, it's not going to be possible. He claims when it's darkened because of soot, in the case of the clay utensil, or in the case of water, so then, for example, what would be an instance of water reading his lashon? There is a lot of, remember, in those days they were heating up a mikvah with fire, and there was soot around, and it begins to whiten the color of the mikvah. Either way, claims the Mishkanes Yaakov, in such a case, there are times where there is mamashos, and then in such a case, then it's going to be, water is going to be problematic. If that's so, according to the Mishkanes Yaakov, based on the Gemara, what emerges then is the following. If there has been mamashos that has been added to the water, and the water is no longer clear, so then that would be a psul of shinui mare and pasul the mikvah. Pischei Tshuva disagrees. Pischei Tshuva says that the Mishkanes Yaakov is a chumra gedola, and that he believes, it's amazing how it relates to even reading pshat in the Gemara, that he claims that the Gemara, when it said that water is clear, did not mean to say that any time there is a change in the color of the water, then in such a case, then it's possible. But rather, what it meant is the following. Since water is generally clear, so then the kli that's supposed to be used is also supposed to be generally clear. That is not to say that water that had become whitened, even from mamashos, would be possible. No, it would not be possible. However, what the Gemara was saying was that water is generally clear. Since water is generally clear, then it's going to be acceptable. To which then Tosfos had asked, even if water was not generally clear, it would still be okay. So then what is the inference from water? This last point of how to read Tosfos was the way I had understood the Tosfos according to the Pischei Tshuva. Whether the Pischei Tshuva will learn that way is obviously beyond our scope. But the machlokis is clear between the Mishkanes Yaakov and the Pischei Tshuva, and that is, could our Gemara be telling us that when there is mamashos, then in such a case there would be a psul of shinui mare? If that would be so, then one can reconcile Tosfos' kasha. However, the Pischei Tshuva says that our Gemara never meant
to infer what the halacha is going to be when there is some type of mamashos vis-a-vis the halachas of shinui mare, but rather it was speaking about the general makeup of water. If you had asked me, I would say that the Mishkan of Yaakov's pshat is a little bit more rigorous in the Gemara itself. It's a little bit, it sounds a little bit dachuk to me, and the little bit that I looked into it of the Pesachei Tshuva's read of the Gemara, because he seems to be making the Gemara a little bit lav dafka.
But Chazon Ish in Mikvot in Simin Ches of Simin Kuf Mem Aleph Os Ches disagrees with the Mishkan of Yaakov. He doesn't quote the Mishkan of Yaakov by name. However, he claims that the mikveh here would be kosher, and he seems to have a very strong raya from the Gemara in Erevin on Chavtes on the base. The Gemara there says that beer, sheikhar, would be posel mikvah of gimel lugim, if there was gimel lugim throw in, but shinui mare would not make it posel. Just the change of the color would not make it posel. And it would be like meitzeva that the Mishnah on Zayin Gimel in Mikvah said is kosher. Now, when it came to the beer that was thrown in, that changed the color of the mikvah, so then in such a case, then that should be even worse than smoke that has come in. There, it was mamish beer that was thrown in, smoke or steam, that's more ethereal. Yet there it's kosher, certainly steam that comes in is going to be kosher. What's going to be puzzled? Shinui mare is not simply translated as its words. Shinui mare doesn't simply mean a color, as the Mishnah itself seems to indicate. That meitzeva is going to be fine, because there hasn't been a change of the mamashos. If you will, shinui mare is only a simen that there has been a change in the mamashos of water. However, if there hasn't been a new mamashos added, in such a case it's going to be kosher. This would respond to a question that many of the poskim have discussed, and that is, what happens as, unfortunately, is common, the mikvah had many people that had used it to the point that, and this hasn't happened once, it hasn't happened twice, that the color of the mikvah has actually changed. So let's just throw out a few Marim Makomos. The Divrei Chaim, all the poskim are mekel. The only question would be, according to Mishkanes Yaakov, but Lechura, the Chazon Ish's position makes a lot of sense. The Divrei Chaim in Hilchos Mikvos and Simf Mem Gimel says it's kosher. The Darkei Tshuva in Simen Reish Aleph Sif Katan Lamed says that the halach is that's going to be kosher. However, he does say that if the shinui is a grave change, it's going to be mutter. However, according to the Chazon Ish, it will be fine. The son-in-law of the Darkei Tshuva from Hornestipel in his Sefer Chibur Letara assumes that's going to be a kosher, as well as in the Shals of Tshuvas, Divrei Malkiel says that it's kosher as well. All of that would have to assume a reading in our Gemara that wouldn't follow the Pashtus, that we said that the Mishkan of Yaakov had a good point in terms of reading our Gemara. We are not Zoche in this piece where the Chazon Ish explains the Gemara in Sota, that where the Gemara in Sota seems to say that a change in the appearance is going to be considered a significant change. Unless one suggests the following, that the Gemara was talking about, a clay utensil, generally over there it became darkened because of real mamashos that was put into the utensil, and that caused it to change. So when the Gemara compares it to water, the Gemara is also talking about water that not only its appearance changed, but something like wine was added to it to create a very significant change. Obviously, the above discussion would get involved with adding chlorine, which has color to the water. And if one would like to see a longer elaboration on how the above relates to chlorine and the different customs of how it's added to the mikveh, so then in such a case, one could take a look in the Sefer Mikveh Mayim on page Pei Vav and Pei Zayin. He does point out that based on the Chazon Ish, then it should be that chlorine that combines in a water to change the color would not be problematic and would not be considered like wine, but obviously this is a big discussion and beyond our scope for right now. Halacha l'maisa, topic number two, brings out a beautiful point, and that is that in Kodshim, people think that unfortunately Bizman Hazeh, the halachas of Kodshim are not halacha l'maisa. However, every once in a while, Bezer Hashem, shortly, they will become that way. Look, we're so close to the Makom HaMikdash, Bezer Hashem. But every once in a while, we have halachas in Kodshim that play themselves out in Shulchan Aruch or Chaim that's not even in the halachas of Kodshim. And that is the halacha of salt. The halacha of having salt during a meal actually stems from the halacha in Kodshim, at least one reason for it, stems from the halacha in Kodshim that emerged from the Gemara, three lines from the top that we started with on Daf Tes Vav, Amud Aleph, that the Gemara had said, or we had left off with on last time, and that is that the Gemara had said that we learn from the Pasuk, the Chol Karban Minchascha B'Melach Timlach, that there is a chiyuv to put melach on every carbon. In fact, the Rambam says that who does not, the Rambam Yisurei Bia Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Beis, says that if you don't, there is a lav of Malkus, it's an Isur lav, not to put on melach. The Pasuk also says, V'lo sash biz melach bris elokecha. Now this is found in Shulchan Aruch. We know in regards to eating bread, this is found in Kuf Samach Zin, Sif Hei in Orach Chaim, that the Mechaber quotes, Lo yivtza ad sheyaviu lefanav melech oliftan, that a person should not break bread until there is salt in front of them. And the Ramah adds, Umikol makom. You know what, let's continue a drop in the Mechaber. V'im hayu nikia, if the bread was clean, if it's already been salted, so then in such a case it doesn't have to be eaten that way. According to the Mechaber, as the Mishnah Berurah explains over there in Sif Katan Chav Zayin, it's all based on the idea that the bracha on bread should be a respectable bracha, and the food, therefore, should be something that a person will want to eat. If a person does not want to eat it, so then there's a chisaron in the Kvod HaBracha, as well as the Mishnah Berurah adds that if a person is going to have to wait for an added additive to be brought to him, so then in such a case, then that would bring to a hefsek, and to prevent from a hefsek, those are the two reasons. This is the explanation, the simple reading of the Mechaber as explained by the Mishnah Berurah. However, the Ramah adds, Umikol Makom Mitzvah, it seems that the Mikol Makom is, even if the bread we know is already tasty, it's a mitzvah lahavi al kol shulchan melech kodem shivatzeya, ki ha-shulchan dome le-mizbeach, the shulchan is like the mizbeach, va-achila ke-karbon, and the achila is like eating a karbon, v'nemra al kol karbon chal takriv melech. The Ramah adds, v'hum egin min ha-puranios, and it protects us from tragedies. So the Ramah takes our idea. The Beis Yosef quotes this in the name of the Shibole Haleket from our Gemara that says that Karbonos ni Melach, and says that the same applies for eating. Rav Neman Sal Shlita in his B'Yitzchak Yikare points out that there are conflicting reasons within the Ramah. Our Ramah in Kuf Samach Zayin says that the reason that we put it up is because of the Karbon. And eating is akin to bringing a karbon. However, in Simen Tov Ayin Hey, it seems that the Ramah goes in a slightly different vein. In Tov Ayin Hey, we're discussing the halachos of the night of the Seder and the first kezayis that one eats. The Ramah says that the kezayis of matz, the first kezayis that one eats, then the Ramah says that even though the Mechaber says to dip it into salt, the ein aminig litbol b'melech by rishona, the pasnaki ein sarach melech. The custom is not to dip it in because it qualifies as pasnaki, the clean, pure bread. The question, and because the matzah, of course, is well sifted, question, of course, is that was the rationale of the Mechaber, asks my great Rebbe Rav Neman Sal. That was the position of the Mechaber in Kuf Samach Zayin, that pasnaki is what's the reason we have melach, and if it's pasnaki, then there's no need for melach, and to supplement a pasha einu naki when it has melech. However, the Ramah said that the rationale was because the shulchan is dome lemizbeach. Rav Nevenzahl gives a beautiful possible teret where it's built kedarko bekodesh on having an understanding of the system of Shas as well as having a tremendous bekiyus in Shas. He points out that the Gemara tells us that we would not bring nidavim and nidavos on Yom Tov. And the reason for that is, quote, is only the necessary avoda that's doche Yom Tov. However, nidarim and nidavos, those things that a person decides to bring on their own, that kachim is not brought on Yom Tov. And for this reason, Rav Nevenzahl points out, nun aleph tes, we paskin that you don't say mizmar lesoda on Yom Tov. We don't say mizmar lesoda because Arben Tova would not be brought. And according to that Manda Omar, so then we did not bring any other Evarim, any other limbs of the Karban, on Yom Tov itself. So that what would then emerge is that there was no Melicha of Karbanos that was done on Yom Tov, particularly the night of Yom Tov. On the night of Yom Tov, when there would be no other Karbanos, there would be nothing else to salt except for Nedarim and Nedavos. So then there is no need for melach. Hence, the case of that Ramah that said that you don't use, it doesn't bring down the case of melach as connected to carbon is because he's talking about the night of Yom Tov. However, that is a beautiful and brilliant teretz. Rav Nevenzahl Kedarko Bekodesh has a couple of technical questions on himself. Everything always has to fit 100% when he gives an ukimta, and often he'll reject it because of a very small technical reason. You could take a look at his Ha'aras and B'Yitzchak Ikari. Finally, he quotes, I do not know who this is, from a Chacham Echad that gives also a straightforward and beautiful teretz as well, that the distinction between Kuf Samach Zayin and Tav Ayin Hey is that in Kaf Sarach Zayin, the Ramah is talking about putting the melach on the table because the shulchan is dome lemizbeach. However, the Ramah is not actually talking about using the melach in the food. However, in Tav Ayin Hey, you would need to have melach. However, the point is, we're talking about dipping into the salt. What would then emerge, if this teretz of the Chacham Echad is correct, that on the night of the Seder, one should have salt on the table, l'chura. I'm just adding to what I understand from my Rebbe's words, that one should have salt on the table, but there wouldn't be an inyan to dip, according to the Ramah. Of course, for Svardim, the halacha would be different. For Svardim, it seems from the Mechaber and Tav Ayin Hey that one would also put the matzah into melach. And this, Bezer Hashem, is a summary of the halachos of salt, as well as the sugya of Shinui Mare by a mikveh.